Welcome to the journal.ie's The Explainer, where every week we take a deep dive into a different news story. I'm Laura Byrne, and this week, what is the Oireachtas Committee expected to recommend on assisted dying? Now, Ireland's been building up to an open debate on assisted dying for some years now, following a few high-profile cases in the courts. Because of this, an Oireachtas Committee has been examining whether to introduce voluntary assisted dying laws here on the back of a bill tabled by People Before Profits' Gene O'Kenny in 2020. Now, it has spent considerable time hearing from a wide variety of voices, both for and against. Next week, that committee is expected to recommend a change in legislation to allow for assisted dying and euthanasia under certain strict criteria. So what exactly does this recommendation mean, and how could this legislation come about? Are we talking constitutional change and referendum, or do we just need the new laws passed? And if we come to a point of legalising these end-of-life measures in Ireland, how would they work and who would be involved? Now, to look at all of this today, we're joined by our own assistant news editor, Stephen McDermott, who's reported extensively on this for us. Thanks so much for joining us today, Stephen.
No problem at all.
So firstly, Stephen, for our listeners, when we talk about assisted dying, what exactly do we mean?
So assisted dying is the act of deliberately providing medical assistance to another person who wants to end their life. So, for example, like if a friend or relative of someone wants to help them procure drugs in the knowledge that they intend to use those drugs to end their own life, that would be assisted dying. It's kind of different to this other term that we hear a lot, euthanasia, which is what happens when a second party intentionally ends someone's life to relieve their suffering. So like if you can imagine like a doctor who administers an injection to someone or something like that. So it's kind of all based around who commits the final act. So assisted dying is when the person does it themselves, and euthanasia is when another person does it to the person.
And they seem to be very different in how the law approaches them. Isn't that the case? And what does the law currently say then about assisted dying in Ireland?
At present in Ireland, helping someone to take their own life is actually illegal under Irish law. So under Section 2 of the Criminal Law Suicide Act 1993, which is a technical legislation, anyone who aids, abets, counsels or procures the suicide of another person can be convicted and imprisoned for up to 14 years.
And it's pretty strict, and we are having this conversation in this country for some time now, but there are other countries in the world where the law permits assisted dying. Can you tell us a bit about one or two of those?
Yeah, so the laws it was proposed by Gene O'Kenny in 2020 is actually very similar to the law that currently exists in the US state of Oregon. If you looked at the two bills, Gene O'Kenny's one and the assisted dying bill that was in Oregon, they're actually pretty much the same bill. So their law allows terminally ill people to end their own lives through voluntary self-administration of lethal medication. So that has to be prescribed by a doctor. And until 2022, you had to be resident in Oregon. That's no longer the case, but that was an issue that was planned. You have to be 18 or over. You have to have lived there for at least a year. And crucially, anyone who says that they want assistance to end their own life must have the capacity to do so. So that would have to be assessed by like medical practitioners, and you'd have to obtain like written consent from a person and a doctor and that sort of thing as well. So it's quite complex. It's not just a case of like saying I want to go to a doctor and obtain medical assistance to end my life and that's it. There are a bunch of hoops that you jump through. The practice is also kind of legal in places like Belgium and the Netherlands. It's a bit more straightforward, if you will. Like there's less hoops to jump through. So in both those countries, say like children can request to end their own lives, but you have to obtain parental permission if you're under 16.
Now, so what you're describing in some of those countries then sounds like assisted suicide, but euthanasia would be the exception in many of these countries, would it?
Yeah, and euthanasia is kind of in place in Switzerland. We all hear about Dignitas as well. But yeah, very much it's assisted dying as opposed to euthanasia, yeah.
So how we came to this public conversation, I guess, about this is really on the back of one or two high-profile court cases, isn't it? Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, so there's been one or two of them over the kind of past like 10, 15 years. The big one, first of all, was Marie Fleming. So Marie was a woman who had multiple sclerosis, who lost a landmark right to die case in the Supreme Court in 2013. So before the Eighth Amendment was repealed, there was this thing called a right to life. So Marie took a case that was based on the right to die. Her argument centered on the deterioration in her quality of life. So the court heard how like she'd regretted not ending her own life before she lost use of her arms. She argued previously in the High Court that she was likely to die by choking on her own saliva if her condition got worse and if she was not assisted to end her own life. So she took this case, but actually lost. The Supreme Court essentially said that there was no right to die. So Marie died in late 2013, but her partner Tom Curran has actually been kind of central. He's been a big voice in this legislation as it's been progressed, and active in the pro-assisted dying group called End of Life Ireland. The other big case was involved, we would know the woman involved who's still alive more, Gail O'Rourke. So she's was a friend of a woman called Bernadette Ford who also had MS, and she was acquitted of assisting the suicide of Bernadette in 2011 by booking her a flight to Switzerland to help her die. So Ford eventually took a lethal dose of medication that she'd bought on the internet, and O'Rourke had been charged with sort of aiding and abetting her suicide by helping her procure that medication. Just to be clear, Gail O'Rourke was not present when Bernadette took the lethal dose of medication, but the prosecution sort of alleged that she'd helped to obtain it by making a money transfer to Mexico. She was acquitted of all those charges, but again, she's been kind of centre, just given her experience of what she went through with Bernadette, she's been centre to the movement as well. So I guess more recently then as well, we've heard people like Charlie Bird and Vicky Phelan. They haven't been full-on advocates for it, but they, again, you know, recently passed away knowing that they had terminal conditions, and they very much spoke about the comfort, I guess, that something like assisted dying might be able to give to them, were that the case. So
yeah, I remember covering Marie's case, and you could see how her own illness was taking hold of her throughout all of that ordeal. And of course, the country saying goodbye to Charlie Bird this week, and he suffered from motor neuron, which was a really difficult illness for him. So this Oireachtas committee, it did hear from all sorts of voices from either side of the debate. What was it tasked with doing in relation to this subject?
Yeah, well, it was essentially, you know, there's so many issues around assisted dying, you know, it was essentially looking at all of them in very, very minute detail. You know, they were looking around things like the ethics, whether it was constitutionally viable, what people on one side would say. And let's say we talk about this as if there's like one side and another side. There are so many facets to why people might be in favour of or opposed to, you know, it's not just an either or, but it really, really teased all of those out. And, you know, like many people who support the bill are still cautious about how it proceeds. So you could be in favour of, but you might worry about, you know, are people going to be coerced to do this? Or you might think, okay, well, I'm in favour of adults being able to avail of it, but not children, those sorts of things. And so a lot of battlefronts opened up, particularly as the language, around the language. So we talk about assisted dying, but other people say, well, it's assisted suicide, and like assisted dying almost sort of masks the reality that someone is taking their own life. And in any other context, we talk about someone taking their own lives as suicide. Ultimately, the Oireachtas Committee just wanted to make a recommendation on whether this legislation was viable, how it should proceed, what conditions should be around it, whether there would be need to be a referendum, those sorts of things as well. So it's going to produce its report next week, and it looks like it's going to recommend for legislation to be passed.
It seems like in one way, when you look back at all the arguments we've had around divorce and the Eighth Amendment, as you mentioned there, that we have had at least a very adult conversation around this particular subject, which is nice to see. Who did the committee hear from then, Stephen? They heard from a wide variety of voices.
Yeah, like it is partly based on the fact that there are so many facets to this, you know, arguments on both sides. So we heard from constitutional experts who some argued that, oh, well, we'd need a constitutional referendum to insert something like a right to die in the constitution. Others said, no, well, the previous judgments in the Fleming case said that you know, the Oireachtas could legislate for this if they wanted to. There was representatives of Dignitas who, as I mentioned, were the Swiss or the euthanasia company. Someone from them came along and said, this is what process would look like. Here's why people come to us to do it. On that same day, there was a Dutch, I guess he was like a medical ethicist, talking about how, like, very, very philosophically, it sounds kind of lofty, but like how the introduction of assisted dying in the Netherlands has sort of changed people's attitude to death over there, and what people might, or how people might feel their lives are valued as they're approaching end of life and those sorts of things. Heard about from disability advocates. We heard from people who are in favour of assisted dying. We heard from providers of palliative care. We heard from doctors. Like all of these sorts of various stakeholders, and I hate to use that word stakeholders because it sounds like a public consultation or something, but all of the people who would have an interest in this, or would know, you know, things like, again, what it's like to be approaching the end of your life, or what it's like to live the disability, or even what it's like to provide kind of palliative care. You know, it was really everyone who we could have heard from.
And it's such a great format, really, when people are heard like that. And so it is expected to make the recommendations. They have so far agreed what the recommendations will be. What are we expecting then next week?
So there's actually supposedly going to be two recommendations. So the first one is that the government should legislate for assisted dying, which is what we've been talking about, where the person ends their own life. But it's also expected to come out and say that they should legislate for euthanasia as well, which is where, a second person ends a person's life. That wasn't really on the cards when this was tabled by Gino Kenny in 2020. It just seemed like we were going to have a conversation about assisted dying, and that was it.
So they've gone a little bit further than they were expected to go initially, which is interesting.
A little bit. Like, again, we have to see next week, but that's what all the reports are saying, that there will be euthanasia as well. So The legislation, if it's introduced, they say should allow people with just 6 months to live to avail of assisted dying. For those with a neurodegenerative condition, it should be extended to 12 months. So in order for someone to avail of this, say a person, they have to be diagnosed with a disease that's incurable and irreversible, advanced and progressive, and that a doctor said will cause them to die, and that that person will die within 6 months. So the disease is also going to have to be seem to be causing suffering to a person that cannot be relieved in a manner that a person finds tolerable. And it was reported also that the committee voted in heavily in favour of the proposal. So originally when this committee was formed, it was kind of, there was people who might be more, say, conservative, for want of a better word, on it, and that there was a bit of a split on it, but apparently it has voted quite heavily. So one of the other things we've actually heard as well, just this week, as sort of leaks are coming out, is that it's expected to call for criminal sanctions for anyone who coerces someone to end their life. So that was obviously a big concern among the opponents of the bill, essentially, that, you know, what's to stop someone from saying, oh yeah, well, just sign this paper here and end your life.
It's an important safety net. These are very weighty, medical-based decisions, and nobody wants someone who's vulnerable maybe towards the end of their life to be coerced by anyone. So that, I think that's something that most people would agree with.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then what's the reaction been to the recommendations that we expect have been agreed for next week?
Yeah, like obviously it's been welcomed very much so by assisted dying campaigners. So we mentioned the likes of Tom Curran or Gail O'Rourke. They haven't been very, very public, but like a group like End of Life Ireland has obviously thought this is great. Someone like Gino Kenny, who's been campaigning for this for a few years, has been out, you know, sort of celebrating it as well. But it's also been opposed a bit as well. So there seems to be some tetchiness within government about it. So Finance Minister Michael McGrath was out earlier this week and he said he doesn't know if the government are going to be able to legislate for it in the next year. We're obviously expected to have an election within the next 12 months. And, you know, by all means, I think the legislative process should allow, if the government really, really wanted to do it, to draw up this legislation and to pass it. But, you know, it looks like a bit of a case of them kicking the can down the road now.
But this is the interesting thing we should clarify, that they're not saying we need referendum constitutional change here. They're saying that this could be just straight up legislation to get this over the line.
No, I remember talking to a constitutional expert like around the time that Gino Kenny tabled his bill in 2020, who very much said that, you know, the courts have said, at the highest courts, well, the Supreme Court has said that the government can legislate for this, that it doesn't need to go to, like, you think of the constitutional referendums that we've had, it's something like the Eighth Amendment, it's to take that out of the constitution. Like, we don't need to insert something like the legalization of drugs. Like, you can just legislate for that. You don't need to put drugs in the constitution per se. So no, you absolutely don't need a referendum for this.
So you mentioned Michael McGrath then. What else is being said in political circles about the potential for this legislation? Do you think there's political will here?
I definitely do think there is a will. Like, it was sort of surprising back in 2020 to see this go to a special committee. It was fully expected. Like, the way these things usually work with a private member's bill on something, I'm not going to call it extreme, but quite like a liberal policy like that. Again, you would think if Gino Kenny tabled legislation about the legalization of drugs, again, to use that example, that the government would have a position on it and everyone would be whipped and it would just fail. The government, if they were going to do it, would want to introduce their own legislation. But at the time, there was a free vote allowed and it actually made it to special committee, which was, it was not entirely unexpected, but it was quite a surprise at the time. So when you consider that all of the people in the Dáil had a free vote on it, that there is, I guess, a political will amongst the 160 or so TDs that want to, that they wanted to at least send it to special committee. So there is a will. Now, on the other hand, I will go back to what I just said about Michael McGrath, where, you know, the government might not want to legislate for this, that we've seen a couple of, particularly the referendum, say recently, where it's become a bit of a, they became a bit of a culture war issue. Do they want to deal with this before an election as well? It might be something else to kick them with. We don't know. It would just be easier for them essentially to do this in the, or another government rather to do it.
That's the tough thing. I've heard some commentators say that if this government doesn't do anything legislation wise, this is going to be left on a shelf and all the committee work could be undone. And it, as you mentioned, the recent referendums that we've had, the government did take a right kicking in the last one. They may be a little bit more reluctant to go down the road of this.
I think that's it. And you talk about something being left on the shelf as well. Like, Gino Kenny fully expected when it went to committee stage and the special committee was going to be set up. Like, I remember having conversations with him at the time as well, and him saying, you know, that was going to happen, that to go to a special committee. You know, he said, oh, the government might fall, and then you never know what's going to happen after that in the lifetime of the next government that happens. So again, it's, I keep saying, you know, like, it's a surprise that we've come this far. And like, when the committee report comes out next week, we'll see what the next stage after that is as well. Like, it does seem to have this strange momentum behind it for something that, again, is so like liberal and a bit out there in terms of a piece of legislation, but like, there is a momentum behind it. So yeah, hopefully that won't happen.
There seems to be, dare I say, an element of practicality with this one, which maybe is a sign that we have matured a little bit in our public discourse around these end of life questions. It's a tough one. And what about the medical profession then? They're very much going to be in the mix on this legislation. Some differing views coming from that sector, I'd imagine.
It's kind of complicated. Like, there are, again, doctors, there's medical ethicists, all sorts of people who are like on the side advocating for it, you know, and say this is a compassionate thing to do. This is care. But you think of the Hippocratic Oath, you know, which says first do no harm. So there's people on that side as well who say, well, like, if I'm to provide medicine to someone who wants to end their own life, like, that's not me really providing them care, you know, in a very, very practical sense. But it's, you know, it's essentially like cutting that off and, or like killing them, you know. So that is an argument. There was a paper by the Royal College of Physicians in 2017 that said that any introduction of this kind of legislation would be contrary to best medical practice. Guidelines to the Medical Council of Ireland specify that doctors must not change or must not take part in the deliberate killing of a patient. You know, again, that could be changed if the legislation changes. But, you know, there are positions out there on an official level as well, not just among individual doctors, who say, you know, that we shouldn't do this. It doesn't make sense. But again, on the other side of it, there are, as I mentioned, people who say, well, this is care. This is what care now looks like.
And there is talk of the idea of conscientious objection down the line if this comes through, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Like, it's again, kind of like the abortion legislation, where if people think that they don't want to do it or that it's not within their ethics, that they could opt out of it.
So if these recommendations come, as we expect, next week, in practical terms, what happens then?
I guess up to the government to decide if they want to legislate for it, you know, and then we'll have a whole process, as we've seen, where there'll be legislation drawn up and it will be debated and people will table amendments and that kind of thing. And then it will just ultimately come to be passed into law. Now, again, we've talked a couple of times already that that might not happen within the lifetime of the government, because there's an election expected in the next year. They have plenty of other things that they want to deal with. It wasn't necessarily in the programme for government when it was formed in 2020. So it would be up to essentially another government to decide that we're going to put that in our programme for government and legislate for it then. But that's essentially what comes out of it.
And as we mentioned, we're coming towards maybe the natural end to the life of this government, and maybe they just don't want the hassle. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Well, look, thanks so much, Stephen, for covering all of this. And it's clear that it's going to take some time and maybe more in-depth debate to get close to resolving the issue at all. So we'll keep an eye on it for The Explainer. Thanks so much, Stephen, for today.
No problem at all.
Thanks again to Stephen McDermott for joining us today. You've been listening to The Explainer podcast by thejournal.ie. This episode was brought to you by myself as producer and executive producer Sinead O'Carroll. If you'd like to support all the work we do here, head to thejournal.ie/contribute to make a one-off donation or become a monthly subscriber. And of course, you can always leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.